All right, and we're back here once again here on Couch Coach Live, a Wednesday night edition under the lights here at Couch Coach Live. We had a special guest in the building. What's going on, JB?
Not much. What's going on with y'all?
Jay Dizzle.
You know, that's I'm just same old. Working. You know,
right?
Yeah,
trying to just stay busy, man. Stay out the way. So much stuff going on around here. You just look at it like, wow. You know what I mean?
True.
Trying to make you, sure. Trying to hope and say that it get better. But hey, we got sports.
For sure.
I know.
Yeah.
NBA yeah. Playoffs, NHL playoffs, the draft is tomorrow.
Okay. Hold on. Before we move forward, JB, stop it. I know what you're doing. I know you, man. We've been dealing with this for years. I know what you're trying to say.
No, man, this is okay.
Hey. Hey, y'all should have split. That's all I'm gonna say. Y'all should have won one of the two games. That's all I'm gonna say. Yeah, but yeah, I haven't looked as bad as a few other teams have looked. So
that doesn't help. But okay.
Yeah. So we got a great show lined up for you tonight. So we'll talk about Reggie Bush being reinstated. Do some NFL, NBA playoff recap, just our overall thoughts of the week so far in NBA playoffs. And then also we'll shift our focus to the NFL draft. Many consider tomorrow as a Christmas day, an unofficial holiday for some. And we'll talk a little bit of the NFL draft and then round out with game ball and our final thoughts. So what we'll do, we'll kick the intro. We'll be right back here on Couch Coach Live. Back here on Couch Coach Live. This week's Couch Coach Live is powered by SeatGeek. Head over to SeatGeek.com. Use the promo code CouchCoach at checkout. So, man, a very interesting day to say the least. We had some breaking news earlier in the day where Reggie Bush, the 2005 Heisman Trophy winner, in 2010, his Heisman Trophy was forfeited, basically due on the premise of citing of receiving improper benefits during his tenure at USC from 2003 to 2005. And today, the Heisman Trust has reinstated Reggie Bush, and he is now back in the brotherhood of the Heisman Trophy winners. So I'm going to go around the horn first. JB, your thoughts on Reggie Bush being reinstated by the Heisman Trust? What you got?
I mean, I don't think he should have ever lost a Heisman Trophy. I don't know about you guys, but I've always felt this whole thing with the NCAA taking trophies away or vacating championships. I just think that that's stupid. The team won the championship. The person won the trophy. Just let them have it and just level sanctions against the team, like for behavior, and just move on with it. But what good did taking the Heisman Trophy away from Reggie Bush? What did that do? It's not like it changed what happened at USC. You know, like I've just never really liked that, and I don't really understand the whole, oh, you broke NCAA rules, so we're gonna take a trophy away from you, and we're gonna take the championship away from you. Like, if you're gonna take the championship away from a team, wouldn't you give it to the team that lost in the championship game? But they don't even do that. It's right. Weird. I've always thought that was weird. Those were just my thoughts. I'm happy he got his trophy back because he won it fair and square. Right. So
for sure, yeah, for sure. What you got, Mal? What's your thoughts?
I mean, everything that JB said is true. They should have never took it from him. Shout out to some of the people that was that put it. There's always people put it on the forefront, but definitely the last person I heard about this saying we need to. He said I would forfeit mine was Johnny Manziel on Club Shay Shay, and you know, and that wasn't even what 8 months ago, and then that was 2 months ago, and this happened. So, you know, shout out to them, and shout out to him too for even using his platform, because we all know what he did. Not I want to take from him getting his Heisman back, but the last time I heard about this was Johnny Manziel speaking about it and speaking about his wrongs of certain things. And for him to say, hey, I'm willing to give mine away and do protests because I do think that Reggie Bush should have his, that's great. You know what I mean? It's right, man. Like everybody, you know, times have changed and people make, you know, decisions. And we at a place now, like we should be able to look back at them and say, hey, that was the wrong decision and fix it. Just learn from our mistakes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I echo everyone's sentiment. Yeah, like you said, I don't think initially when this came down 14 years ago that he should even have lost the trophy. Because to me, I hate this idea. Because to me, it reminds me of almost like putting toothpaste back in the tube. Because at this point, we've already lived this experience. You can't take that memory in December 2005 and say, well, it didn't happen. It happened. It's so my biggest thing with that, I'm glad that this happened while he was alive. My biggest fear was that this would have happened if, you know, after he would have passed and what have you. So that's the thing I always thought, it kind of reminded me of kind of how people, you know, how these things kind of happen, like after the fact. But luckily it was only 14 years, but like I'm glad that. So he'll, you know, be a part of this Heisman brotherhood in a sense, where he could be in those Heisman commercials potentially, and also being able to see him every year potentially, when ushering the new Heisman Trophy winner every year. So I'm happy. I'm glad that this did happen. And like you said, I think hopefully this is going to be the step forward going forward when it comes to these type of sanctions where you can't just take something away from something that has already has happened. Like it's something that we can't just be like, oh, well, we just forget everything that happened with Reggie Bush. We can't, that Heisman year can't be denied. He won that fair and square, had a dominating year that year. So it's just one of those things where it's just like, I'm glad it happened, and I'm glad it happened while he was alive. But that was even back in those days, because I did not think it would have been longer than 14 years. But I'm happy that he is reinstated for sure. Absolutely.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
You know the strangest thing about that, with all these sports podcasters and things of that nature now, you know they all speak on how they were all getting certain things back in the day. Not every time I hear them talk about it, they laugh about it, how they had apartments, you know, all these different things. You know what I mean? And like just common sense to me, I felt like things like that would happen. You know what I mean? Like if an athlete was in a bind, like you don't want him catching the bus. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like that's just seriously, like you don't want him eating at certain places where he'll be mobbed or something. You want him eating at a certain place where he can go, you know what I mean? Or he or she, it just makes sense to me. You want them, they're celebrities. You want them to be protected. You know what I mean? It just makes, if that makes sense to you guys, it makes sense to me. You know what I mean? I had a cousin that played ball and they had an apartment. You know what I'm saying? He had an apartment. You know what I mean? He didn't. And it's just certain things that just made sense to me. They make it seem like, I don't know, just I'm just happy. Like it's like they were so worried about certain people judging. And it's like, I could see if a person played and they gambled on it and they cheated. But come on, man, if they got something, they dominated. You know what I'm saying? Like they deserve what they deserve. With everything he did on the field, like, come on, man. Why would you take it? Like, it just none of that stuff makes sense to me. You know what I mean? But I'm happy now. Everything is moving forward. They still complaining and still trying to get it to be back how it was back in the day. But it's no way that's going to be to happen.
It's too late for that. Yeah. I mean, you've already the fire has started, and it's never going to go. You know, at this point, you know, especially how the NIL is set up and how these teams and boosters got this all set up. Oh no, this. If you think it's bad now, until it get controlled, it's gonna just skyrocket for sure.
Yeah, I think that what they're gonna end up doing at some point in the future with NIL, because I do think it's starting to get a bit out of control. I think they're probably gonna have to limit how many times a person can transfer, actually. Right. Because you have a lot of people who are just transferring. Okay, well, Arkansas is going to give me this, and you're not going to give me this. So I think they're probably going to have to, like, put a limit. Like, you can only transfer maybe, like, when you commit to a school, you maybe can transfer two more times, and that's it, actually. And I do think that while it's good, I do think that it's gotten kind of out of control because, you know, with Jay Wright retiring, one of the things he mentioned was that one of the players was saying, well, I want more money. And I want my girlfriend to come here at law school, and his girlfriend didn't have good enough grades against a law school in Villanova. And you can't really be doing that, actually. Yeah. So like when you start saying, oh, I want my family member to come here, and yeah, it's a slippery slope. But I don't have an issue with what Reggie Bush was doing, because I mean, he was making USC millions of dollars. And I mean, when you look at it, the university was kind of taking advantage of it. Like, I mean, when you look at what Reggie Bush was getting from them, yeah, he got a free ride to school, and you know, you get money for, like, you know, traveling to buy food and stuff like that, but it didn't add up, man. It didn't add up. It was unfair. So
and for what I remember, his parents' rent was on, it was like less than $1,000, and that was in Southern California 20 years ago. So I mean, it won't like they were living lavish. I mean, when you sit down and you really think about it, even back then. But to your point, JB, I think, and we talked about this before, and I think you might have been on the show when we talked about it. Until I think they got college football, once they get the commissioner, I think that's when it's gonna, with all these things that are gonna come into fruition. Because now, especially with everything that's going on with all these realignment with the conferences, and I think college football will be where essentially college football is gonna be one entity and basketball gonna be the other, because it's gotta be a point where it's getting out of hand. Like, I think about an example like UMass. Like, UMass is, I forgot what conference they're going to because of football. But then it's like, it's gonna suck for them because they're going to be out of the A-10 in basketball. So it's like, it's going to have to be a point where I think all these Power Fives are going to come together, get a commissioner, and kind of iron all this stuff out and kind of make somewhat of more of an even playing field when it comes to, like, the NIL, like you said, because – like you said, everybody and their mama want to go to a school, you know, and bring their mama and bring everybody with it. So, you know, and that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. It'll happen. I don't know when, but I think they're going to have to get a commissioner, because especially the way the college football landscape is expanding, especially with the playoff and all that, it's got to happen.
Right.
They need a Roger Goodell S type of guy. but so let's shift our focus. Let's talk a little NBA. Let me grab that here. So and obviously we just got to the beginning of the NBA playoffs. So we'll just go around the horn. Any like takeaways or thoughts of this opening weekend? It was opening week of the NBA playoffs. I'm going to you first, JB. What you got?
I mean, there are a few things that I took away from the playoffs. So the first thing I'm going to take away is the game that happened yesterday. Phoenix they look like they are just not athletic. Actually, I mean, for the fact that Cat and Anthony Edwards struggled yesterday, and for them still to get blown out, it was a bad look. I'm not going to say the series is over with, because I expect for them to go back home and win both of the games. But Devin Booker and Kevin Durant have not looked good. I mean, KD looked good in game one, but both of them have not been, for that Phoenix thing to work, KD and Devin Booker have to play like top 10 players for it to work. And KD looked like a top 10 player in game one. Game two, he didn't. And they just look slow. They look slow. And they don't look very athletic. And, you know, Minnesota has like won both of these games convincingly. And I thought that the series was a toss up, actually, 50-50. The other thing I take away is that Philadelphia blew two games. Like, those were two golden opportunities that Philly blew. And I mean, you can look at it like, two ways. You can look at it like, oh, well, they probably should have won one of those games. They're probably still in good hands. They probably
can, you okay?
Yeah, they can go to New York and they can probably go back to MSG and win a game. Or you can look at it at the point that Embiid is hobbling, man. And I'm not sure how much longer that knee is going to hold up. And if he goes out, the series is over with. But like, Philly should have won one of the first two games in New York, actually. That game two, the ending of game two, was a comedy of errors. Like, right. I still can't believe they lost it. I understand that Jalen Brunson did hold Maxey and he fouled him and Josh Hart fouled him, but Kyle Lowry has to be smarter there, man. Like, he's a veteran. Once it got to 4 seconds, he should have called the timeout and they could have gotten the ball at half court. So just there have been some missed opportunities by some teams. And, you know, unfortunately, the Lakers are another team that, you know, they've missed opportunities. You know, for you to, you know, only score 31 points the last 22 minutes of game two, you know, it's you can't do that. So, but those were my takeaways from the first two games of some of these series.
What you got, Mal? Your takeaway so far?
I have a few. I'm going to do them fast. I said the young players are here, and I said the young and the new teams are here. The Lakers and the Suns probably about to get swept. And let me tell you the reason why. I think the Lakers, they do have depth on their bench, but at the same time, they don't have a ball hog that when AD – and LeBron done did them. Who can they just – I think Reeves can, but they really bullying him. They pushing him around. He running in the screens, and I'm like, it has to be somebody who just going to say, hey, I'm going to take somebody off the dribble and get me a shot. You know what I mean? It ain't D-Lo. It's not – every time D-Lo shoot, I think it's luck. You know what I'm saying? So – and I feel like the Suns are the same way. I feel like on their bench, like, who do they really have that could just go out there and just get buckets for them?
Yeah, a lack of depth. I mean, that's the issue you run when you have three max players on your team. You're not going to have the depth. And, right.
For instance, you know, if you go back, man. you can say, okay, the Warriors, like, they always had, like, Spates, they have Livingston, of course, that came off the bench. They gave you 15 to 12. And then
They had Barbosa.
Like, yeah, they always had like somebody that like Poole, of course, you know, that they drafted somebody that did to say that they knew for a fact can give them 20 points off the bench. Like, and that's to me, that's going on with these teams right now. Like, it's bad, you know. Let me see what else I got. The Pacers, I think the Pacers, the way they're looking, they might actually beat the Bucks. Is Giannis ain't back yet, right? Giannis going to be out for a while. Like, it's just, these are new playoffs. Like, the Knicks, would that happen? That might have hurt the 76ers. To me, though, it's still opportunity. I think the 76ers are still a good team without Embiid. Like, they still got a $180 million man there that's making 9 or 7 points that should be making at least 23. He should be able to take the game over. He ain't doing nothing.
Oh yeah, but that's been the Tobias Harris thing the whole time he got there, man. You know, like, I mean, he has not played well. I mean, he played decent for them last year, but for the amount of money he's making, he's like one of the worst valued contracts in an NBA, actually, for what he does and how much money he's making.
And then I was looking on a bench and I didn't write it down, so I might have forgot. But I still think I seen Milton. I seen a few dudes. They older. But I still think that you can get some points off these guys that's on the bench. Like, I was watching them speaking, and they was like, look, man, I know it's the playoffs and you want to keep the rotations low, but you got to do something, especially if you're it's the playoffs. So usually your number one player, if y'all are short, you keep them paying like 40-something minutes a game. It's the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? And you know you can't do that with Embiid. So you got to hit that bench and come up with something. I think, because I think the Knicks are good, but they're not as good as they're making them out to be. You know what I mean? Like, if you can double Brunson and get the ball out of his hand, you could beat the Knicks. You know what I'm saying? If they knock down their shots, they knock down their shots. I'm going to keep going. I'm sorry. And I feel like the way things are going, Boston, this might be a good chance for Boston to actually win the championship. And I believe that the Pelicans are better than what they're showing. And And the question is, I believe, are the Clippers better without Kawhi? And that's it.
Yeah, I think mine's pretty simple. I definitely like what Minnesota has done. But I think now they're kind of, I know last year, you know, Denver was saying that was their toughest test. So now you're kind of seeing Minnesota in its fruition and, you know, feeling like we're on a collision course for Denver and Minnesota in the second round potentially. So you're looking at that, what that potentially is probably more likely is going to happen. So you're looking at what they have done. And like JB said, like the 76ers had so many golden opportunities to win both games. And now you're looking at how well can Joel Embiid, you know, can stay healthy in a sense. And it's one of those where it's like, you know, once he's gone, that was to me, I always looked at going into this series, even in spite of his health, that was going to be that biggest mismatch. And I think that was one of the biggest advantages for the 76ers, because I think I had them potentially winning in seven, I think, when I did the picks. So, like, you know, his health is very key in this matchup. And like you said, those are the other ones I want to discuss. Looking at what Cleveland is, even though Paul Cleveland and Indiana, they always got them on NBA TV. Bless their heart, but Lord, they always on NBA TV, and it's just like, dang. Like, but it is what it is. But, you know, seeing what Cleveland is doing so far, I'm really interested how Orlando will play now, you know, as the series shift to Orlando and kind of, you know, this kind of how they've been playing all year. Can this kind of come into fruition in this series? Right. Can they particularly even up with that? Like you said, and I think the Pacers, like you said, Maui, I think, I looked at like the Pacers series where I definitely think it's, you know, it's could be a seesaw. I think, like you said, it could be a potential where I think Indiana could potentially squeak it out, but it's like kind of on one thing. It's kind of too close to tell in that matchup. Yeah. But so far it's been some good first round matchups. I definitely like what you know, as far as when it comes to the Pelicans and the Thunder. Well, I think that's a nice good mix. Where it's kind of one of those where it's like you look at OKC, you know, just getting there and now number one seed, just seeing how their youth and how they are playing in this series. So it's kind of one of those where it's still kind of too early to tell kind of what OKC could do. And then also like with the Pelicans, you know, it's just one of those where they're another team that they got to the expectation, because I know we talked about the Pelicans with you, JB, too, and I know we talked about it outside of it too, where we always looked at this team as like a playoff caliber team. Even I think when we did the preview, we looked at this team, we didn't think they were going to be like that in that log jam and that 7-10. We kind of figured they were going to be at that level, because we, you know, at that time, you know, and Zion kind of, you know, and it was all contention on Zion's play and him being available, which for the most part, he's been available for the better part of the season. So, and then now without him for maybe potentially another, 2 weeks potentially? I think he would reevaluate it. Well,
if there's a game five, like he can reevaluate, but I don't think he's gonna play again.
I'm saying I know he'll be reevaluated. So, and who knows how far this series will be? So, you know, just one of those kind of things to kind of look at going forward. But yeah, those are pretty much my my takeaways for the opening weekend of the playoffs, which, you know, it's been a good. I mean, they've been some good games. You know, and a lot of people, of course, you got the haters that say, "Oh, I was like, no, it's been good basketball."
Yeah. Can I say something real quick? I like Orlando. I saw when the Lakers played Orlando, I said I like Suggs. I think Suggs brings something out of them. I think they're a better team, just like I think the Pelicans are better. But the problem is the NBA is so starstruck. The Pelicans are way better. I think they should go through their center, like go in and out, and then use Zion. Because I think if they was to go in and out, and then he got shooters. Jones can shoot. I think his name is Murphy. Is it Murphy?
Murphy, Trey. Yeah, Trey. Yeah,
Trey Murphy. I just feel like if they go pick and roll, because the center can shoot. They can do more pick and roll and then go in with the high post. And then if he get doubled, they kick it out. They knock down their shots. I think they would have been way farther than what they were. But I think that's the issue. I mean, we know who Zion is and how dominant he can be. Whoa. And I think Zion is the whipped cream on top. One more. I think that I looked at the stats for Orlando and Pancho. I think his name is Pancho, right?
Paolo,
that's JB Paolo, boy.
Yeah, 24 and 20 points a game. He can't do that being a star. He's got to get 30 points, and he was 9 for 20 and 9 for 21. And then Fultz didn't even score. He made one point. Yeah. Like, you can't be in the playoffs and do that. If they actually compete and get that fire like they had during the regular season, they'll be all right, but you got a ball, man. Like, you got to be, and also you got to get coached. Like, coaches got to have their players back. You know what I mean? Anyway, that's my
piece. Yeah. I like to tell them. So you're talking about, I got you. One little quick thing, JB.
Okay.
So you said, so you need to go through. So you said, you're talking about Valentine, you're talking about Travis Kelce. You're talking about Travis Kelce.
The
Lithuanian Travis Kelce,
right.
And he got a nice little 12 footer. Like, let me tell you something that's weird. I saw something, and somebody said something. I feel like a lot of American players have more pressure on them to do things a specific way, maybe be more flashy or just do things a little more attractive than some of these foreign players. Like, they still trying to shoot threes, and the game has switched back to where it used to be, where you got to bang on the inside. You know what I mean? You got to start hitting these mid-range shots and making layups. Everything ain't about three-pointers no more. You know, that team didn't make the playoffs. That's just the truth.
Yeah. With the thing about Orlando, what I would say is that Orlando is missing a number one option. Like, I like Ben Carroll and I like Wagner, but I don't think that they're the guys. And so Orlando is missing two things from their team before they can take that next level. They need a legit number one scorer, and they need a sniper. They need a guy who can make threes. Like, Suggs is probably their best overall shooter. And I mean, I think he only shot 35-36%, but I think Orlando, I think it's a foregone conclusion that they're probably going to lose this series, but I think that they can still like hold their heads up because they arrived actually early because I thought maybe play in this year. They were the number five seed this year. They won 47 games. So, I mean, they had a good year with the Pelicans because I'm a fan of New Orleans.
I know.
The issue with Valanciunas is that the reason why you can't really do that with him, he's not a good passer. He's not a very good passer, and he doesn't really have good hands either.
Right.
Now, what I did like what they did in the play-in game, they did a lot of pick and roll with Zion, and they let Zion set the pick, actually, sometimes, instead of letting him handle the ball. So, but the issue with New Orleans is the spacing. Brandon Ingram does not take enough threes. Like, Brandon Ingram, I like him, but him and Zion thing, it doesn't really mesh well, actually. And Brandon Ingram takes a lot of mid-rangers that are difficult. And don't get me wrong, he's a very good shot maker, but he doesn't put up enough threes. And even though Herb Jones shot good, he doesn't get enough up either. So, like, really, the only two on that team that put up enough threes, in my opinion, are CJ and Trey Murphy. It's just the spacing just isn't there. And they need to like actually surround Zion with more shooters. Actually,
do you think they need a point? Do you think that the problem is they got CJ McCollum? He's a two. Do you think they need a point guard?
Yeah, they need a point guard. But I also think that they need a center to pair with Zion because Valanciunas is not a good defender. And like he's a banger. He's a very good rebounder, and he can score around the basket. But just they have good pieces, but the pieces don't fit. So they're going to have like an interesting offseason.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. And as for the Clippers, I don't think the Clippers are better without Kawhi, but I think James Harden plays better without Kawhi. It's really weird with James Harden. James Harden is very ball dominant. And you even saw last year, he played some of his best ball when Embiid didn't play. Like that game when he had against Boston, he played lights out without Embiid. And it's just like, James Harden has a hard time when he is not being ball dominant, actually. So, like, I just thought with the Clippers yesterday, the offense just looked really clunky, and the Mavericks offense looked really clunky too, actually. And I had the Mavericks winning that series, actually. I had the Mavericks like in six or seven. I forgot what I said, but like, I just think that the Clippers messed up when they had that little stretch when they were losing at home to like the Pacers and other teams, when they could have actually been winning games and trying to catch up with Minnesota. Like, just the idea of having to play Luka again and they beat him two times, I think Luka's going to get it done this time because he has Kyrie now.
Yeah,
so,
right. Yeah, that's what I had him at seven. So, so we got a few teams that are down 0-2 in the series. We have the Sixers down 0-2, the Suns, the Lakers, and also the Magic are down 0-2. Now, out of those four, any of these teams that you think that can overcome an 0-2 deficit and potentially win the series? JB, any of those that you that got a shot on? Yeah.
There are two that come to mind. Hinging on Embiid's health, you would have to give them a shot because they played the Knicks well and they should have won one of the games. So, I mean, you could see that. And then I would say the other one would be the Timberwolves and the Suns. I mean, just because they have KD and Booker, and those two guys could go crazy hot and win games for them. I don't think the Lakers are going to get swept, but I just think the issue with the Lakers is just they don't have enough two-way players on their team, actually. They don't have enough two-way players on their team. They have, like, a lot of guys on the team that can only do one thing, and they're going against Denver. So I would say probably I would probably rate it like this. The Sixers, I would say, have the best shot. I would say probably Phoenix would be next. The Lakers, and then probably you would say probably I would have Orlando, like I would have it in that order. Like, I would give Philly the best shot, and I would give Orlando the worst shot of coming back.
Okay. All right. What you got, Mal? What you got?
I got the 76ers, and I got the Orlando Magic. I'm done.
All right. I think my personal opinion, have a conceivable chance. It's probably going to be the 76ers. And I think it will be, and that's talked about it earlier, as far as pretty much contingent on Joel Embiid, because I figured that, you know, in that matchup, that's the biggest mismatch that the Knicks have. So I look at that. And like you said, I think, will we get a sweep in any of these other three? I doubt it. Like, I definitely think Orlando is still a game. I think the Lakers are potentially still a game. And also with the Suns, you can't count them out either. Especially in a series like this, where they could become the two best players in this series, which they are, you know, they could become the two best players in this series and dominate a few games or so. But I definitely think if they had to choose one, it'd probably be the Sixers, in my personal opinion.
Me too.
Yeah.
Like I said, I looked at the team, man, and I was like, they looked at their bench, and I'm like, Embiid to me should just be getting rebounds. And things of that nature, right? Just to keep him on the game. Like, everybody else should be getting 15, 20 points. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you're using him like he's healthy, and he's not.
Yeah, man. Be like that, hey, you know? So, speaking of the Philadelphia 76ers, we got to definitely give a huge congratulations to Tyrese Maxey, who won the most improved player. This year, he averaged 25.9 points per game this year. He joins Dana Barrows as the second 76ers to be named most improved. And also Tyrese Maxey coming off an all-star appearance this year. What you guys thoughts on him winning over Sagan and also Kobe White? I'm going to go with you first. JB, what's your thoughts on Tyrese Maxey?
Yeah, I think once Sengun got hurt, I thought Sengun was going to win it, but then he got hurt. He got hurt, I think, beginning of March or the end of February. And I was like, he's not going to win it. Overall, good nomination, good nominees, actually, because Kobe White had a hell of a year for you, for the Bulls, man. He really showed a lot of improvement. Yeah. I was talking about Orlando, I was hoping if the Bulls decided not to like sell at the deadline. I was hoping Coby White or Emmanuel quickly would end up in Orlando, because I think that they would have been a good pairing down there, actually. But yeah, no, I thought overall good nominees. Tyrese Maxey really deserved it. And one of the big things that people aren't going to talk about, I think he's actually made some improvements on defense. Like, actually, he's done a very good job on Brunson, actually. He's done a very good job on Brunson with, like, his length and his athleticism. Because Brunson has not really played well, actually, in the series. But yeah, Maxey deserved it, man. He's actually, you can see why Daryl Morey didn't want to get rid of him, actually, when there were the rumors about Dame coming to Philadelphia. Yeah. And yeah, so yeah. Kudos to Maxey, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Same thing. Like, man, like, he's you know, his average is up 5 points. 30 point games, 9 double doubles. You know, last year he averaged 3.5 assists. This year he averaged almost 7. So, like, you know, his numbers is up. And then coming after, you know, Harden leaves and he's able to get in that position, you know what I mean? And he's a threat, like, the way, you know, everybody respects him, you know what I mean? And honestly, I'm happy Coby Wright. I'm happy. I was hoping that they would be into the playoffs, because I'm happy that he was able to show his skill. You know what I mean? He was on the bench and he became got into the rotation. So I'm happy with Coby Wright, the success he had this year.
Yeah, with Tyrese Maxey, I mean, it was, to me, he definitely deserves this. You know, like you said, you've seen the flashes throughout his career. Obviously, rookie year had a great year. Then even after James Harden left, we knew, okay, this is a perfect opportunity. This going to be, like, I always thought that was what was holding him back. So, and obviously that proved to be correct in that scenario. So I look at what he has done. And that's one thing too, I think. It's just a testament to, to the scouting. Cause he was another one. He was, like, you know, that late mid round pick in that draft that year. So it was kind of one of those things where you look at, you know, you can get value. Because I think he was drafted, 21st? I think 21st in that draft. I'm not 100% sure, but he was drafted. He wasn't a lottery pick. So it's one of the things where it's like, you know, Philly did their due diligence. And it's one of the things where this is a great recruiting pitch as well. Some about those, those John Calipari guards, you know. So if go down to Arkansas with Coach Cal, potentially. But in all seriousness, he deserves the award. And now you see it, you know, to the fruits of his fruition. And then also, you know, him making an all-star appearance this year. And I think he could be somebody who could be a brilliant all-star in this league. So definitely kudos to him. And like you say, even, you know, the finalists as well, great job on their end as well, too. Like you said, Coby did a great job. And, you know, but like you said, that was my biggest thing. Like, if he would have went to Orlando, yeah, he would have been, like, kind of their dagger type of guy that you mentioned, JB, as far as what they were missing. You know, what they wanted Joel Ingles, in a sense, to be, you know, in that elk. But, yeah. Shout out to Tyrese, man.
And he's the first time All-Star, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he made, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Shout out to him.
Yep. Yes, indeed. That's a huge shout out to him. So we'll shift our focus to the NFL, where obviously we are less than 24 hours away from round one of the NFL draft. So we got to go around the horn, fellas, and talk a little NFL draft. So I need some first round hot takes. Now, it could be anything. It could be a surprising pick, trade, or et cetera, or any type of hot take. Centered around this draft. I'm
going to
go with you first, JB. What you got?
Oh, I'm interested to see what happens at quarterback, man, because I think it's a foregone conclusion. Caleb Williams is going to go. And poor Caleb Williams, man. Caleb, I feel sorry for you. You're going to a franchise that ruins quarterbacks. Hopefully in 4 years you find a new team. So we'll just
start waiting. Right. But
I'm really interested to see what happens, man, because, like, there are a few that I just don't get. I don't get the whole J.J. McCarthy thing. I'm not saying he can't do it, but he just has shot up draft boards. I'm hearing people say he's going to go top 5. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen. I'm also interested in seeing what quarterback falls, because every year there's a quarterback that people say, oh, he's going to get drafted here, and he ends up falling, because it happened to Justin Fields that year. So I'm interested to see what happens. And what you mentioned about trades, there's going to be a trade. I think a big name is going to get traded tomorrow. And it always happens. We don't know. Like the year A.J. Brown got traded, nobody knew that was going to happen. So something's going to happen tomorrow. My hot take is just to see what happens with quarterbacks. Are the Commanders going to do the right thing and draft Jaden Daniels, which I think that they should? Or are they going to draft Drake May? And if they draft Drake May, man, y'all should have just kept Sam Howell. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. What you got, Mal?
You waiting on me?
Yeah.
All right. So this is what I got, man. I got, okay. So at pick 3, the Vikings would move up to get the quarterback from to the Pats. They're going to give up the 11th and the 23rd pick, and they're going to get your homeboy from North Carolina, Drake May, right? And the reason I've said that, because I watched a whole bunch of stuff today, and they said the quarterback coach was his high school coach at the Vikings, right?
McCown.
So with that happening, I got a pick 4. The Giants are going to move to the 4th, and they're going to get J.J. McCarthy. And the Cardinals would get the 6th and the 70th pick and a 2025 fourth round pick. Now, that opens up for the Chargers at 5th to get Marvin Harrison Jr. to play with Hubert. And I was like, that would be crazy. Because I think that's something he's always needed, right, was a weapon. Because didn't – what's the name left?
Keenan Allen
and Mike Williams. And with the new coach, and I think that's something that they would need to probably excite the people, because you know Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably one of the best wide receivers. So by that happening, let me keep going. I got a lot, B. I'm sorry. So now with the pass at the 11th, they're going to get their new Gronkowski, which would be Brock Bowers, right? And then at the 23rd, they would get another top 5 receiver, Brian Thompson Jr.
From LSU,
right? Okay. So then, is that it? Yeah, that's it. That's all I got. So I think that by the Giants moving and by that pick 3, because I think one of the main things, I think with this new coach for the Pats, everybody's thinking a quarterback, but if they make a necessary move for their future, they can get a tight end and a receiver rather than just getting, you know what I'm saying? And then the Cardinals, I still got some stuff for the Cardinals too, but I ain't going to read it. They would still be to get them a receiver and a few things also.
Yeah, I think I don't think it's necessarily going to be hot takes. I think it's kind of one of the things where I think it's kind of mal. But I definitely think I got a strange feeling 5 quarterbacks could be drafted in the first round.
Right.
I think that's going to potentially happen. How I think it's going to play out, obviously, I think, you know, Caleb 1, Jaden at 2. Then I'm thinking, you know, Drake May, you know, he'll be the 3rd one off the board.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting. I think, like you said, Minnesota, you know, how that dynamic going to work. I think they're at 12. Will they go and get potentially Bo Nix?
I think
that's potential. Then could the Raiders, because I know they want to get Jaden Daniels, I don't think they will have enough potentially. Then I think maybe they go and get maybe Michael Penix Jr. potentially in that. So it's kind of one of those where it's, you can see that 5. And like you said, I think when you talk about JB as far as who's going to be the slide, and it's like, it's so weird. Like the JJ McCarthy thing just came out of thin air, because like in the Senior Bowl, that's like when he kind of like his stock rose, because then people were like, oh yeah, you know, he could potentially be a first round pick. Because I think going to the national championship, I mean, it was almost like, okay, maybe you know, maybe a Friday pick at best.
But then after the Senior Bowl,
I swear, like many, you know, and I, you know, knew a few people who went. They were like, yeah, I think he gonna chart up. And at that time, when the Senior Bowl was right for Super Bowl, so that's been about 2 months ago. They were a little over 2 months ago, and they were like, well, maybe he'll go 15 or so. But then, like, I don't know, all of a sudden, within what the beginning of February to maybe about a month ago, they're like, he might go top five. And I'm like, huh? Like, he that rides. And it's kind of one of the things where it's like, you know, and that's one thing too. You don't, it's just going to be strange how where he's going to go. And if somebody willing to trade up for him, and I even heard in that, and this is not mine, but this may not happen, but shout out to our guy, Rob Johnson. He had a scenario where the Chargers trade Justin Herbert. And then they get J.J. McCarthy, which I know that's probably more than likely not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But that if that happens, it would be like, wow, that would be like that moment where you say, J.B., where you have a high-profile player getting drafted. And I don't, and it could be maybe Denver could be, because I know Denver was really looking at, you know, there was rumors that they would package a deal with Patrick Surtain. And I'm like, oh. So I'm like, yes. How desperate Sean Payton could be to get a quarterback.
Right.
We're going to see. But yeah. Fun. So now, and then we talked a little bit about teams. So what is the most intriguing team to watch as far as when it comes to making moves or anything of that sort in this first round on tomorrow night? What you got, JB?
So you already mentioned them, and Maui already mentioned them. I think the Raiders are very intriguing to watch because the Raiders definitely need a quarterback. And I know a lot of people are talking about they maybe have found their coach of the future. I don't know, man. Like, if Antonio Pierce doesn't have a quarterback, if you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to win it. You're not going to win in the NFL. So I definitely think the team that also intrigues me is the Vikings. I think the Vikings made the right decision in just letting Kirk Cousins walk when he got all that money from Orlando. I think Minnesota has a pretty good roster, man. They just need a quarterback. So, does Minnesota do something crazy like move up and draft? Because I don't know about you guys. The quarterback I like the most, other than because Caleb, we know where Caleb Williams is going to go. I like Michael Penix the best, man. I like him the best, man. I think that I understand he has injury concerns, man, but he can really throw the football, man. He reminds me of? Also went to the University of Washington. He reminds me of Warren Moon. The way that he throws the football, man. Like, I really think whoever ends up with Penix, I think that they have a very, very, very good quarterback. Just make sure he has a line and everything will be fine. So,
yeah. What you got, Mal?
I mean, of course I got the Steelers, but not in detail. I'm definitely trying to, you know, it's the team to watch. I mean, they got handed a few things, so I just want to know, okay, with your draft picks, what you going to do? You got handed. It seemed like everybody want to come play for you and everything. It's just great. I'm looking at the Cardinals because, you know, how long are they going to, you know, I know how long are they going to keep Murray? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what has he really done since he's been there? I'm not saying he's not exciting. I'm not saying this and that. But, you know, how many coaches has he had? Has he had three?
Three.
That's what I thought. He's had three coaches. How many running backs has he had? How many weapons has he had? You know what I mean? It's like, okay, how long are we going to keep going? Anyway, y'all know what I mean. I'm looking at the Pats, of course. And I got two maybe teams. One is Buffalo, and the other one is the Cowboys. Like, I just really want to see, and I think everybody should really want to see what the Cowboys are going to do because they're not necessarily making too many moves. So, what are they going to do to move forward?
They need they need. I think that this is what I would do if I was Dallas, and if Penix is there for some strange reason at 24 when they draft, they need to draft Penix. And the reason why is I think that, like, you can't give Dak Prescott no $60 million a year, man. You can't do that. And the QB salaries are getting out of control. It's to the point now where if you are a top 12 guy, you're going to be eating up 25% of the salary cap, actually. And the NFL has to do something about this, because it's to the point you're almost punished for having a good quarterback, because you have to pay them what the market value says. And you can't build a good team if your quarterback is taking up a quarter of your cap. So the NFL at the next collective bargaining agreement, I think that they need to just say, hey, we're not going to count the quarterback with the cap. Because you look at what happened to Buffalo, actually. Yeah. Buffalo basically had to cut everybody this offseason. So, right. So if I was Dallas, if Penix is there, I would draft him. If he's not there, they need to draft a lineman, because we lost Tyron Smith.
Right.
And we lost our center. And actually, I like the center of Barden from Duke. And I also like the guy from Oregon. So I think the Cowboys either need to draft a lineman or they need to draft a quarterback if Penix is there. But I doubt he's going to be there. So I would say draft the lineman.
Well, that's why I said I'm watching them. But I just wanna, you know, like, you know, sometimes they got to let these people work, you know. So I'm really mine is Buffalo. And really the main ones, I put the Pats there because I know they starting brand new. But definitely Buffalo and the Cowboys.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Tyler. My bad, JP.
Y'all got a nice little center. Y'all signed a bunch of our sloppy seconds.
Dan Quinn. Trust me. Your trash is our treasure at this point. Lord, we needed some of that for real. But I think the most intriguing is gonna be the Minnesota Vikings, because I think what they're gonna end up doing is they're gonna have to trade, because you know, obviously. The good thing about them, they got the two first round picks, and all they really had to do is maybe bring a first round pick in 2025. And I think Minnesota's in a good spot to get that quarterback, like you mentioned earlier, Maui, as far as the whole Josh McCown, Drake May situation. And I know this is gonna sound a little crazy, but I think if you can, he can be a situation where you may, if he can win out against Sam Darnold, so be it. But if you can, you know, maybe have Sam Darnold kind of start the season and bring in and slowly, gradually bring in Drake May, I think that's a great situation for Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So I look at that, and then like with the Patriots, as far as that, I think their potential trading partner, I think it'd be good for them, because I think even at 11, I think they can get a quarterback at 11 potentially, unless you know, it gets to a point where you start seeing some, you know, some teams kind of trading up. And then you also couple that with the 23rd pick. And now you look at it, it's a little different now because, you know, it's hard to kind of, you know, especially when they've had, you know, Bill Belichick and Brass for so long there. Right. I'm still thinking that the Patriots are going to do Patriot things, like trade down. So I don't know, for some odd reason, I still have that type of, you know, mentality when it comes to them. And to see what they're going to do and, you know, and then to see how this quarterback – thing kind of shifts. I look at that, and then also another team that I think that's going to kind of serve as somewhat of an intrigue, in my personal opinion, is probably going to be, like I said, the Raiders as well. I think they're another one where, you know, because I think they at 13, so you're kind of curious at what they're going to do at that spot and where they trade up, and also with the Giants, and I think. Especially from an NFC East type of situation where it's like, will they get like a Malik Nabers if he's there at 6, or will they go and get the quarterback? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's kind of one of those where it's really interesting of what they're going to do. And obviously, you know, will J.J. McCarthy, which could potentially be the next Daniel Jones in his draft potentially. So it's kind of one of those where it's going to be interesting what the Giants are going to do, I think, at 6.
When they put them together, I was like, yo, he looked like Daniel, like it's gonna be the same thing. Like, if you trade up to get him, like it's gonna be the same issue.
Yeah, and that's why, like I said, I never understood, especially when it. I don't know. I think it's just I'm telling you, this draft stuff is like it's got to be studied. I swear. Pause. But when they see these prospects in shorts and t-shirts, these people get a little crazy, because it's like when you see like nothing. What I've seen it with JJ McCarthy at Michigan suggested that he should be a first round pick. But like I said earlier, that I don't know, it's them being in them shorts and t-shirts, huh?
You know what he reminds me of, actually, JJ McCarthy. He reminds me like Jim Harbaugh, actually. Yeah. As a quarterback, he reminds me of Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh was a solid quarterback, but I mean he's not something that you should be spending high capital on. Essentially, he reminds me of a Jim Harbaugh and an Alex Smith together. It's what he reminds me of.
Undersized and kind of like that bravado. I don't think he's like Jim, like from the bravado sample, he's like more of a calm, cooler version of Jim without khakis.
Yeah.
But and like you said, you get that Friday night, Saturday afternoon, that Thursday in prime time.
Yeah.
And that's the scary thing about it. And that's the thing where
some people are gonna get fired. This is the tragedy about the draft. Like teams are going to make decisions that are going to have like a ripple effect, and people are going to end up losing their jobs based off of what happens tomorrow. And it's unfortunate, but people are going to end up losing their jobs tomorrow. And like JJ McCarthy to me could be a good quarterback, but he has to go to the perfect situation. If he goes to the Giants, if he goes to the Commanders, now the two teams I think he could go, there's another team I think he could go to and he'd be okay. The team that I think he could go to and be okay would be the Patriots. The Patriots don't have a bad roster. The Patriots just didn't have a quarterback last year. And you know, with Mayo, the defense is not going to fall off either. So, but there are only a few teams he can go to like early in the first round where I think he'd be okay. But like people going to make bad decisions tomorrow and people are going to end up losing their job. And it always ends up happening. And if the Giants draft him, what's his name? The coach?
Dayball
is going to wish. He's going to wish Wink Martindale had got to him after he fired. He's going to wish Wink Martindale had gotten to him or whatever a little earlier, because he's going to. I think he should be updating his resume as we speak now anyway, because I think the Giants are in for a rough year actually. So,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, coach.
So the whole infighting, the whole entire year, and I'm thinking to myself like, this is happening in real time, and we're knowing that this is all happening. And just thinking to yourself, like, just the turmoil behind that, and it's just like, it just shows you he's rubbing people the wrong way.
Yeah,
that coach of the year dust is gone. That shine is gone.
My question is, Zach Wilson is with the Broncos, right?
Yeah.
I guess I would get Laurie. What do you think the odds is by him going to Denver, being out of New York City, and playing for Peyton, that he actually might have some type of success?
I'm going to say this. I think he's going to be very successful. The reason why, I have two words: Mormon MILFs. Mormon MILFs.
And good
Mormon
weed.
MILFs. Mormon MILFs, man. That's all he needs, man. It's like Mormon MILFs are probably like make him like Popeye. He might turn into a superstar. I'm joking. Yeah, now, if anybody can work miracles with him, it's Sean Payton. And if he can't turn into any semblance of a quarterback with Sean Payton, then he just needs to retire. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah. I think in my personal opinion, it's gonna be contingent on tomorrow night. I think if they draft Bo Nix, I think it's going to be a situation where they'll be fighting for, potential spot, also include that. Let's not forget Trevor Siemian. But, respectfully. But, I definitely think he's that project. He's that, how can I say it? He's the guy that you got a broken computer. You got somebody who can try to repair the broken computer. I think that's what what Sean Payton is. He's the ultimate mechanic. He could potentially mold Zach Wilson into a potentially maybe a backup quarterback or potential starter quarterback in this for the Denver Broncos. But like JB said, I think if he can't be saved by, and I hate to say this word, and I think we use this word quite loosely, but it kind of fits in this scenario, like the quarterback whisperer in a sense. If he can't really get with him in a sense, I think, like you said, his career could potentially be over. Or he'll just be like that backup or that guy that will be just sitting around and, you know, he'll get a call. He could be maybe a COVID quarterback down the line. I think, you know, especially as rosters expand in the next few years once they expand to 18 games. So, he'll still get some checks, but he won't be getting those starting checks.
Because I seen he was there, I was like, damn, I bet you that pressure is off from playing in New York City, and he's going to Denver. Sure. And I was like, and you know, Denver's, you know, no disrespect, has been a horrible franchise for the last probably what, four or five years? And, you know, and I'm like, get out there, and he actually might ball a little bit. Because he could just go out there and just ball. It was times yeah. I seen Zach play for the Jets. Like, he played against us, and they beat us. And I think we hurt the starting quarterback. And then I forgot who the starting quarterback was at the time. I don't know if it was Flacco. And then he came in, and he balled his ass off. I was so pissed. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, it's there. It's just, I just wonder.
Yeah.
If it's privilege or something that people don't like about him.
Yeah, and I think, like you said,
I heard it's a little bit of his attitude. I don't think that was one of the things that came out about him in college, is that like there's an arrogance to him, and also he's not a hard worker. And you know, as a QB, you have to be the hardest worker on the team. Yeah. You gotta be in the film room, you gotta be studying, you gotta be like getting together. And I don't think he has that drive. And New York was probably the worst place he could have gone to, because the New York media is ruthless, man, especially if you're not playing well.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. Yeah. Especially, and I was even surprised he survived this long, because I know.
Me too.
The year prior to Aaron Rodgers coming, they were like wearing like Mike White shirts, and pretty much the whole locker room wanted Mike White to play over him. And also I think Joe Flacco also had a little bit semblance in that locker room as well. So yeah, I mean, I wish him luck. I mean, you know, but like I said, I think Denver is you know, get a fresh start, and you know, and he's shown flashes, and like you said, hopefully those, you know, that flash can, you know, have potential, and you know, Sean Payton get the best out of him, you know.
But
tomorrow will be a huge indicator what they do at 12. It's really going to tell you kind of the future of Zach Wilson, for real, for real.
Right.
Yep. So, obviously, and the beauty thing about the draft is, you know, like we talked about, there's going to be some team, you know, some things are going to slide, you know, what have you. And, you know, and especially in most of these drafts, we always have, you know, a very rich draft when it comes to prospects. So I want to get you guys your thoughts on your sleepers. Now, these are guys that could, you know, that are still like late first round, mid first round, or any later rounds. You know, so maybe some value picks on Friday, potentially Saturday afternoon as well. So just one on offense and then one on defense. What you got, JB?
Oh, I had a couple on offense. I'm gonna go with a receiver from Arizona, Jacob Cowing. I think he's a very good route runner. He's got speed. Also, I think with the rule changes to the kickoff return, I think that he's gonna have value there. The other receiver that I was looking at too was from UVA, Malik. I believe his name is Malik Davis. Let me double check. His name is Malik Washington. Malik Washington is another one. He's another receiver. I think he's a very good route runner. As far as defense, one guy that I also was looking at too was from Duke. His name is Dwayne Carter, and he's a defensive lineman. He actually plays tackle. He had a bunch of pressures in his 3 years at Duke too. So those are three guys that I think are sleepers that could make an impact on a team next year, and they're not highly thought of. Prospects actually.
Yeah. Yeah, some value picks. I call them like the love, like the $5 DVDs for sure.
Yeah. From Hollywood Video when they were still
in the bins, you know, the ones you go deep in them bins and you find a good movie. Yeah. You gotta dig a little deep.
Credit. On defense, I got Zerhan Newton, DL. I got him maybe going to the Lions to help Hutchinson out. And I got Xavier Worthy, Jerry going to Kansas City. I feel like even though they drafted Holiday Brown, he's not as consistent and he gets injured a lot. And I feel like with the issues with Rice, you know what I'm saying, that it will open up. They draft him, it'll open up for him. With Texas, he had 1,000 and what was it? 75 receptions, 1,014 yards, average 13.5 yards, and the 5 TDs. And with Andy Reid, and then they need a weapon. You know what I mean? And I think he would be here to do good with them.
For sure. So mine's showing a little bit of a bias. I got Tez Walker, wide receiver at the University of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Great target. He's going to be one of those where I think he'll be a guy. I know a lot of people looking, maybe he's a third round pick potentially. I think he'll be a great asset, great vertical separation. He's one of those, I call it get up and get it. Like, he's one of those where if the ball is overthrown, he's going to get up in there and get it. I think he's going to be a guy that can definitely give you some yak yards as well. So I definitely think he'll be a great value for any team that draft them potentially Friday night or potentially Saturday afternoon. So Tez Walker. And then also defensively, this is another intriguing name where some people looking at him as a first-round pick. I'm kind of hoping maybe he slips to 36 or maybe 40. I don't know. That's a certain team that drafts in those on Friday night. Nate Wiggins, the quarterback out of Clemson, 6'1", 173 pounds, great recovery speed, especially when a team, you know, like my team, the Commanders, who have struggled from a passing defense, to have a guy that can have great recovery speed. I think it's we desperately need that. So I've been hearing maybe, you know, tomorrow night he might get drafted. Hopefully he stays around to 36 or 40 on Friday night. But, you know, we shall see. But those are my two sleepers.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we'll put a bow on tonight's podcast where we're going to give our – well, first we'll do our game ball this week. JP, who gets this week's game ball for you?
Oh, yeah. And I just found out popped up on my phone. I'm going to give my game ball to Naz Reid. Naz Reid won Sixth Man of the Year in the NBA. Great for him, man. He's a guy. He had a very interesting path to the NBA. He left LSU after his year. He signed with an agent and went undrafted. And, you know, that could have been catastrophic. We see it happens to a lot of people. He worked hard. He made the team, and he's improved every year. And now, you know, he's Sixth Man of the Year, man. Congrats to Naz Reid.
Yeah, congrats. On me, game ball goes to – I got two. Game ball definitely goes to Tappahannock's own Chris Brown for having one of the nastiest battle. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But, no, I'm giving it to Junior Light, a welterweight contender, Ryan Garcia, that fought Devin Haney over the weekend. Ryan did something that we spoke on that hadn't happened since Ali, where everybody thought he was crazy and was losing his mind, but he just understood how to use social media. And him being a young man, a lot of youngins now have ADHD and things of that nature. So when you're like trying to starve yourself to make weight and things of this nature, you kind of get a little cuckoo. But master boxer, it was great to watch, man. To see this, it was just really domination. Once you watch it the second time, you say, wow, he knew what he was going to happen. He knew exactly what was going to happen from the first 30 seconds of the fight. So shout out to Ryan. Actually, Ryan came to the fight 3 pounds overweight. So he had to pay Devin Haney $1.5 million. And he wasn't able to get the championship, which he's an undisputed, if I'm not mistaken, junior welterweight champion. So even though Devin Haney lost, he still was able to keep his belts. But shout out to Ryan Garcia, man.
Right. Yeah, man, I definitely got to give my game ball to the Detroit Lions. Obviously, they're holding tomorrow night's NFL draft. But, man, they got a little money. So, obviously, shout out to Amon St. Brown. Got signed a 4-year, $120 million extension. He getting that Tyreek Hill money. Definitely huge shout out to him. Yeah. And then Penei Sewell, 4-year, $112 million deal, $85 million guaranteed. So this is kind of one of those things, hey, guys who get, you know, getting drafted tomorrow night, hey, this could be you in 3 years. If you put in the work and you do your thing, is you see what Lions have sold up, their wide receiver, their, you know, and then also the old lineman at Penei Sewell, who I know we talked about him 3 years ago, saying how, you know, he was going to be a good professional, and it came to fruition. So that huge shout out to Amon, Ross St. Brown, and Penei Sewell in the city of Detroit and Detroit Lions, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So final thoughts before we head on out, and then also plug social media and anything that you got going on. What you got, JB?
Not much. It was nice chatting with you guys. Social media, you can find me on Instagram, Jamie B. Foodie, and you can also find me on Facebook, Jamie Bailey.
All right. What you got, Mal?
Oh, man, great show. Always a pleasure, JB. You know that, man. We go back to the legacy days. You remember them days?
Yeah.
No, but great show. Deshaun Morgan, Facebook, DT Morgan 78. Instagram.
All right. Yeah, once again, another great show. Definitely, let's see. So we got that going. So pretty much social media, in it, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that, Couch Coach Live, the podcast anywhere. It's available anywhere you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, we're there, Couch Coach Live, the website, couchcoachlive.com. And yeah, man, that's it for me. So once again, another great show, fellas, and we'll put a bow on tonight's Couch Coach Live, and we'll catch you guys next week. And we're
you're welcome.